On the line right now, my friend Russell Norman, Green Party co-leader. Good morning, Russell.
Morning, Frankie.
Now, Russell, you've been on the Privileges Committee hearing Winston Peters and Brian Henry's evidence. It seems a bit far-fetched to me right now. Are you allowed to talk about this stuff?
Not really.
Oh.
I can kind of talk about stuff that's in the public domain. But,
Okay.
The thing is, it's like this. The problem is there's two competing principles, right? You've got the principle of people have got the right to know who's given money to politicians. But you've also got the other principle is that, you know, Winston Peters deserves a fair go, you know. So you've got to make sure you get the balance right.
I know you can't say a lot of this stuff. Do you think that Winston's sort of being given a hard time? This is sort of something that is actually going on behind a lot of political parties and that Winston's just sort of the guy that's being kicked around for it? Or do you think that there might be a little bit something suspicious going on here?
Well, I mean, we know that the trusts have been used by a number of political parties for, you know, just talking about the trust issue. And obviously the biggest user of the trust is National, who, you know, put minions through the trust.
Yeah.
And we know from Nikki Haga's book that the National Party knew the identity of the donors that were giving the money to the trust, and then the trust gave it to the National Party. So, I mean, you know, there are obviously real questions. And, you know, National have said they're going to abolish all the new rules we've just passed in the Electoral Finance Act to try to restrict it all. So they're going to go back to the old system, it would seem.
Now, it won't be long probably before Helen kicks him to the curb, will it? I can't imagine. I don't see why she'd... What's the benefit of holding on to him?
Yeah, that's the government's call. I mean, you know, all the Greens can do is make our own decisions. And what we've said is that... you know, you've got to give him a chance to clear his name. There's got to be a proper, you know, a proper process.
Yeah.
But while all these questions hang over him, it's very difficult to see how you could work with him in a government.
Tell me this. How do you sit there on the Privileges Committee and have Rodney Hyde sitting behind him the whole time pulling his funny faces? It must be very hard to concentrate.
I think just got to stay focused on the evidence.
He's always there doing a frowning. He does his big frown, his media frown.
Oh, I'm not impressed with that.
There's a rule, other members of parliament are allowed to go into the kind of closed sessions of those committees where the public aren't there and stuff. There's some rules, they've got more movement than the public. So they can get there before the public are let in and get the front row seat.
I actually heard that a journalist sat in his seat yesterday or the day before and the journalist got asked to move for tap on the shoulder by Rodney.
I didn't see that, but I did hear that.
Now... So, election date has been announced 8th of November. What's the Green strategy now that you're sort of hitting the ground running? I guess it's sort of gone from, you know, pie-in-the-sky stuff to actually actualising things. What's the plan over the next 8 weeks to get over that 5% mark?
Well, no, it's to get 10%, thank you.
Oh, you're going to go for the 10?
We've got to get the 10. So, the plan is to keep talking about the things that we think are important, you know, climate change, reducing greenhouse emissions, better public transport, cleaning up our waterways, making sure our food's safe, once again, has become an issue. The basics, well, you know, we also were about protecting public health and public education. We're talking about cleaning up the environment, looking after Aotearoa New Zealand, and protecting our economy, you know. I mean, in the middle of a financial turmoil, surely we should be looking after what's the foundation of our economy, which is, you know, our clean water, our freshwater resources, the fact that we, you know, are a tourist destination because of 100% pure. I mean, you know, we've got to look after our natural environment. It's the basis of our whole economy.
Now, you know those placards you see people stapling to their fences? Do people get those sent out free, or do you have to make a donation to get your hands on one of those?
Spanky, I tell you what, just for you, you can have a free one.
Oh, wow, because there's always a few things I'd like to try. Hey, you're polling...
No, they're free. Anyone can have them. He wants one.
Oh, that's great. Hey, you're polling. How are you polling so far?
The last poll, I mean, we don't do... we very infrequently do our own polling because it's so expensive and we don't have Owen Glenn giving us $500,000 here and there. The last poll, I think, had us on 5, which was... And that's actually one of our hardest polls. The TV1 poll is the one where we tend to do worse. So that was a good sign, actually.
Right, okay.
We can go up from there.
I was talking to Paul Martel yesterday. He works as World Vision's government advisor, and he was saying that only the Greens and United Future are the only two parties right now that actually have policy stating that they're going to implement New Zealand's promise of 0.7% towards international aid. Why do you think Labor and National are avoiding policy on this? Is it just because they're stingy?
Yeah, they don't want to spend the money. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, they've got a long kind of, Labor, I think, have adopted some long-term kind of strategy, a bit like National's reduction in greenhouse emissions. What is it, 50% by 2050, make it so far away that it doesn't really matter right now. But, yeah, I mean, we've got to increase our overseas development assistance because it's critical for being a good citizen in the world.
Oh, yeah. What is 0.7% equal of the New Zealand's economy right now? I guess it is a considerable amount, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, what is it? What is our economy roughly? 150 billion?
Right, I see. Yeah, so it is sort of like 700 million.
Something like that. No, I'm sorry, I haven't got the
answer. No, that's all right. Now, lastly, did you know about the Marineland in Napier, that their dolphin Kelly died last week? Did you hear about that?
I saw it in the paper.
Oh, and I was just talking to the manager yesterday, and because of DOC's policy on not being allowed to have whales or dolphins in captivity, they can't get another one, and now the park might get shut down. Because, you know, no one wants to just come and see seals and dolphins. They want to see, seals and penguins. They actually want to see a dolphin. What's your view on capturing an animal for the enjoyment and education of the general public?
Well, I mean, if you had a tuatara in a big compound, I can live with that. But a dolphin, I don't know. It makes me feel a bit uncomfortable watching those dolphins, to be honest. I feel a bit sorry for them. I mean, they seem to have so much fun when they're out at sea. You watch them swim around in great big groups and run around.
The manager, he does have a good point, the fact that the dolphin lived almost twice the age of a regular dolphin. It got to something like, you know, age 38 and was very, very happy, very well looked after. And, of course, it brought a lot of joy to people and was educational and all those kind of things. Is there any real difference between the fact that zoos are allowed to get their hands on a lion from Africa and put that in a zoo? Why couldn't they put a dolphin, especially if it was bred in captivity already?
Well, the thing is a dolphin has a pretty large range. I mean, when you think about the kind of territory a dolphin covers in the natural world, compared to how much, you know, you can provide in a marine park, it's incredibly restricted. I think anyone who cares about animals has, I think, often two minds about zoos and stuff. I mean, on the one hand, you get to be close to animals, which is great, so people can experience
them. Oh, that is nice.
And also, there's a lot of conservation value in zoos. You know, a lot of zoos actually protect endangered species that are in the wild or in trouble. On the other hand, we all know that, that we are putting them in pretty confined spaces, at least for the larger animals, compared to their, you know, natural environment.
If the Greens were in power, you probably wouldn't expect to see dolphins being sold on every street corner.
No, sorry about that. No, you wouldn't be able to take one home and stick it in your fish tank.
Yeah, never mind. Hey, a pleasure talking to you as always, and good luck with the campaign.
Thanks, Banky.
Okay, bro, catch you later.
See ya.
That is Russell Norman there.